My main chapter is John 1. We're going to just go through it because we already know that. And John 1, I'm not going to go through a whole bunch of reading. Or should I? But we're good. But we know in John 1 that it talks about Jesus coming into full manifestation on earth. We know that Jesus is the Word with God. He is God. And then as we continue to read, it talks about how Jesus came in the manifested Word of who God is. And it just tells us that how he was the example of his Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. Amen. And then it talks about how we are complete in him and how he is the revelation of our completeness. And then it talks about I'm gonna get to what I need to get to. It talks about how John prepared the way for him to come, explaining the revelation of who God is, of preparing the way. So I'm gonna put all this together. I'm not gonna rush. I'm gonna try to take my time. I'm gonna try so that everybody can understand. So, Father, I just thank you, Father. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to share with my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that you give me peace and that all the bubbly things that's going on inside of me, all the anxiety that's inside of me, I speak peace to it now. Father, that I can explain this and talk to them so they can understand it and that it may be clear and that we can live and move forward from this. And God, I just thank you for having an ear to hear me. And that I have an ear to hear you. So God, I just thank you, Father. I pray that you will anoint this word. I know it is anointed because it is of you. And God, you said that you sent your word to heal. You said your word is a light. And Father, let this word that I bring forth, let it be a light that we'll be able to see, to grasp it, understand it, and walk it and live it out. And Father, and then you can go and give us more light. And Father, we continue to light, to walk in your light, that we will illuminate more and more, more knowing of who you truly are, who you are, who we are in you, and who you are in us. So Father, I just thank you. I give you praise for touching my body and my mind and my spirit. So I just thank you and continue to let your presence manifest in this place to continue to give us peace that surpasses all understanding and comfort in receiving your word. So Father, I just thank you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Okay. So in this chapter, I just want to talk about what a lot of things that God was dealing with me in regards to. And he was dealing with the revelation like of who he is and who we are in him. And so this is something that he gave me. So it is that God is calling us to more intimate moments with him. And it's due to he wants to reveal more of himself spiritually and in manifested ways to experience him beyond the norm. And there is never an ending level of intimacy that God's wants us to experience with him. He just wants us to open up to him and one another. We do not want to be. Okay, so let me go back. So when I say, so when all this was coming in my mind, and it's like to be really vulnerable one to another. So with that, vulnerability sometimes is hard for us. It's hard for us. There's some things that we want to share and some things that we don't want to share. And then we look around to see who can I share my most vulnerable moments with. But then sometimes I look around and in my mind, I feel there is none. But we have a community whom we should be able to be vulnerable with. But life is, truth of the matter is that we do live out of eyes of spectacle. Like we were spectacle, because some things we just don't want to share. You understand? But sometimes knowing that if you do share it, it does lighten the burden and you can maneuver better. So this is something that, you know, he does. He wants us to be vulnerable. And it's very easy for us to be vulnerable with God because he knows everything. He already knows. And but, you know, he does want us to say it sometimes because that's part of us breaking out of a cycle of where we are. So sometimes we have to speak things to even begin the process of healing. You understand? Okay. So, and it's okay. He wants us to open up, you know, to him and one another. And I said this is, we do not want to be vulnerable with one another. There is another dimension of love that we must operate from. Okay. So we know God is love. Right, we know all of that. Like everybody in here, you know our teachings. I don't have to reiterate it because we already know. Now I probably should talk as though somebody don't know, but right now God's still working on me. And but you know, it's another level of love, and I think that's, and I don't have a name for that, but we know it's Jesus. But I don't have but it's an operation where we all must be open and be able to flow freely in him. That means having no walls or no blocks up. Being able, the same way that we trust in God, being able to put fully trust in the person that stands alongside with me that I do life with. And I'm not married, but that's not only your spouse. It's everybody that you come in connection with that you're doing life with in that aspect. And we have to let go of what? I can't tell you what it is to let go of, because guess what? We all know deep inside those things that we need to let go. And the Spirit can reveal those things, but that's only when you allow him to come in and do the work and you become vulnerable to the Spirit to allow him to do such. And I said, okay, we only know what we hold on to and refuse to let go, because of the thing is that sometimes those things, even though we think that they're subdued, and we can go a long time without it showing up, it pop up from time to time to let you know I'm still there. So there's another level of intimacy that God is requesting us to spend more time with him. And we may say, I do spend time with him. I spend a lot of time with him. But he's requiring more. And he does that because there is another level that he wants us to experience him. Because sometimes we feel as though, you said you wanted newness. Sometimes we feel as though that we keep experiencing him on the same level. And we're comfortable with that experience. But there's another experience that he wants to experience and reveal himself to us so that we can flow freely. I don't have a name for that type of love, but we know that all of it is operational in love, and love is the only thing that's going to break those walls down. I got something for that later, because that brings me back to another study that I did. So we know what those things is, and we may say that, yeah, sometimes we'll say it's the human part of me, right? However, the human thinking is, however, the human thinking is the human thinking. It's the fleshly thinking, because we're supposed to be led by the Spirit, right? And he says, think on those things that are pure and just and of a good report. So what's that telling me is that we have to be intentional with our thoughts. Intentional mental thinking. We all know when we're off. We can be joking or whatever, but we all know when we're off. Like I could say something that we could be joking, but deep down inside, when we know. We all know when our thinking process that sometimes, even in a joke, sometimes we try to justify it. Right? We try to justify it. So let me see something. Y'all following me? Okay, follow me. And we try to just buy, and we can make excuses on the reason why we think the way we do, or think the way we may see someone, or think the way we may think that we know something that we don't. Because then we'll start acting, our body will react and we'll know. But the thing about that is that we don't ignore the really negative thoughts that we have, or the off thoughts that we may have. That's because it's something that we need to do undo. But we just realize that they're there. And it says, we do not ignore what bothers us. However, we must train our minds to align with God's reality. And this is where I got hyped. I said, because after I wrote that, I put in capital letters, we are complete in Him. So how do we understand and realize that we are complete in Him? I'm just talking. Right? So how do we do that? Because we are natural people. Granted, our thoughts come. You understand? We do. We feel in our human. We do. Even though we're supposed to be spirit-led, we don't always stay in that place. But the only thing that I can say is that once we intentionally try to captivate our thoughts and always keep it in the forefront of our mind, of our actions, because we are a replica of Jesus in the earth. You understand? Because sometimes we can act out and somebody may see us that damage our but they're human. But sometimes we cannot continue to use our human side to make excuses, I'm going to just say it, for our bad behavior or act in a way that we're not supposed to when we're supposed to be Jesus' replica in the world. Because Jesus didn't do it. So we can't keep making excuses of our humanness because it's not who He is. He came. Oh, and this is the wonderful thing that I love about it is that, and I probably gone far in my notes, but the thing about it is that because we are complete in Jesus, that means we are complete in the Father, and that we are working hard on our transformation. I'm not cutting that short because we are working hard on our transformation. We are dedicated to be transformed in the image of Christ. I'm not taking that away, but I just want to talk realistically. It's because the same way that Jesus' actions explain God's, then we should be stepping, operating the same thing, explaining who He is, unquestionable, and in every attribute of our lives. Because we should be able to explain Him in word and in deed. Amen. So the thing about it is that when we pick up that I'm human, no, we're cutting that out because we're going to a more intimate and excellent way of living in the image of Christ, because nothing is going to hold us back. This is a life and death situation, not only for us, but for others that don't even know Him and that refuse to see or come to Him. So we have to live a life that is befitting, that we'll question, well, who is it? Like, who is it that they serve? Like, what is it besides all of us? Because we, at the end of the day, we know how to tame ourselves. Because sometimes when we say, I almost like said something, we cut it off. So we can tame ourselves. We can deal with that. We got power over that. Right? So then, let me see what else my mind is. So, yeah, we slip out, but we can control it. But guess what? Right, it slip out. But if we remember, if we intentionally mentally keep it in the forefront of our minds, we can overcome that thing. We can do away with the lost Adam, as they say. Sometimes we won't bring him back. But we got to keep him going. Well, he's done going on. We already know that. That's a little joke. But sometimes we try to resurrect him. But it's impossible for him to come back because he's done away with. But sometimes we try. What else is there? And in that, and us knowing and understanding that we are, what I say, complete in him, then that's when we will recognize our true beginning. So how do we do that? How do we recognize, how do we know and recognize that we're complete in Christ? And one word that I said that I wanted to, that burned my heart during this whole thing, it was revelation. It's just the word revelation. And we know that it's unveiling, uncovering, removing what hides something that is already present. So that we know that we are Christ. We know that we're Jesus. We know that we were born in him. But sometimes the way we act, the thoughts that we're allowed to come and our mind going in our old ways will play tricks on us, and we really won't understand that. But I truly believe that once we truly grasp that in him we live, move, and have our very being, and that he is the very essence, that we are the very essence of who he is, it says, Hold on. This is my study going. That Jesus is our guide who accurately declares and interprets the visible God within us. And who are we being transformed into? The image of Christ. So the more we get transformed into him and those walls come down, I wish I had my other thing, y'all. Because it was talking about walls at one point in time. I did a study on Jericho. I talked about Jericho walls. So some of those things are walls that we hold on to. And some of the walls are our protectors. And some of those things we just don't want to get rid of. We just want to hold on to them because it's easy for us to cope with anything. If you get on my nerves, I know how to cut you off, even though you don't exist. I can look at you, but you won't be there. Why? Because I know you're going to mean some type of intent harm from me, or you're going to make me act some type of way that I don't want to act. So it's just for me to just cut you off and act like you don't exist. That's one of my walls. Instead of trying to understand why you're acting the way you're acting. Right? So I talked about these walls. I talked about the Jericho walls. So when we have walls in our lives, we need to just take those walls and place them at the feet of Jesus and ask God, God, you know, in my journey of transformation, can you deal with these walls? You know, I'm giving them to you. Not only am I going to give them to you, but I'm going to knock them down. I'm going to try, and I need for you to lead and spirit lead and guide me. And even though you want me to say something to the person, I might act like that, but just push, you know, just give me the obedience, because obedience is the key to when he tells us to do something. And sometimes we do it. We all do it. He might say, you know, go ahead, pick that up. Right, right. Well, so-and-so walked over so many times. Why should I pick it up? But he done told you to pick it up. He didn't tell so-and-so to pick it up that walked over it 5 or 10 times. So the Spirit tells us to pick it up. So out of obedience, and then it even, because I'm going to speed it up, but so it even talks about, you know, walking around, doing my study. I wish I had my paper in front of me, but it talks about walking around that wall. See, they walked around the wall because of the obedience that was given, not because they really had the physical strength to knock it down. They did it out of obedience. And the amount of days that he told them to do it. So the thing about it is that when we bring our walls to God and we ask him to deal with us with the stuff, we have to be sincere that we want to give it up. Other than that, we're going to hold it. And then we become antichrist and disobedient because we present it to him to deal with, but then we don't allow him to deal with it when the Spirit tells us what to do. So we're supposed to be Spirit-led people. So when we're not being led by the Spirit like we're supposed to, we are disobedient. And then our own issues, we cause more affliction on ourselves because we didn't do what was told. So then even I was talking about it, even it was talking about he was going around in circles, and you go around in circles and circles and circles. And then it says, you know, you go around in circles and circles and circles, but if you're Spirit led, you continue to go in those circles, then God will break those circles when you're obedient to this being led by the Spirit. So what we do is that we don't deal with our minds properly. We don't keep the things that should be before us, that should be before us to help us along the way. Okay? So we are complete in him. And we begin to deal with our transformation seriously, then we don't have to worry about the little things and have to keep dealing with them. It'll give space for the other things that has not been recognized to come and get dealt with. We have a whole life, and sometimes we just deal with 1, 2, or 3 things. And then after, if we really give them up and come after them, there's other things that God wants to do in us to get rid of, because there's unknown things in us that we don't know. But we are complete in him, and he is faith and just so graceful, and he's just so patient with it. I love God for being patient with me. So when we begin to deal with those things, I understand that we are complete in him and continue to transform ourselves into his image, no matter how hard it is. Now, we may complain about the same thing. But I promise you, once you let that go and be obedient to the instructions that he give to us to do, and then some things are just logical, we know what to do, but we keep holding on to that. So we can't never get past anything else. And then we wonder why we're still stuck. It's because we keep dealing over this little thing. Because the Bible says they're only light afflictions. Everything is temporary. So if you keep dealing with the same thing, you'll never be able to pass to the next grade. So when will you be able to experience the next glory of his manifestation if we're going to keep let him deal with the first and keep experience the same manifestation over that one thing? There's a greater and a bigger portion of God that he's trying to reveal. So there's nothing. So we are complete in him. And Jesus reveals, he exposes to us in John 1, that's probably John 14, I think. But he shows us through revelation of who he is that we are lacking nothing in him. In him. So even through John chapter 1, we realize that we're in Christ and he is in us. We're in him. We're lacking nothing. He is in us. We're lacking nothing. We're in him. We're not lacking anything. But by him being in us, he is the revelation of our completeness, meaning we are the expression of God's desire. But what happens when we can't express God's desire for us, for our lives? What do we got to deal with? Intentional, mental thinking, in word and deed. Y'all got me? Do you understand me? What am I saying? Because, oh gosh, this is funny. And mind you, this is all for me. Trust me. Anybody else that catches it. Because, yes, because, you know, and we know that, you know, God is the Word. He is, Jesus is, you know, he's spiritually. He explains God. He is God. He is the perfect Son of God. He is the replica of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. But he came, God allowed his Son to come down just to reveal himself in flesh. He didn't have to. Because we are a desired reflection of who we are supposed to be. And if we keep that in mind, that we are divine first. And the Spirit of God resides in us, and there's no way that we can contaminate it. We can misrepresent him. So I'll just say that. But we can't contain him. We can't contaminate him. We can't change him, because he's all things that is good. But how does that make us feel if we don't change our way of thinking of how we respond to stuff or people or treat people? Or if someone, you know, or you know, if something's needed and we pick and choose, like, I ain't picking that paper up. Spirit told me to, but I chose not to. I ain't taking that cart back. I'm not taking out no trash. I'm not vacuuming no floor. 'Cause Belinda gonna do it anyway. I ain't letting that car in. That car, I want this parking spot. I don't care. I don't care if she do got a handicap. If the handicap, people think like this, baby. I don't care if all those handicap parking spots are taken and I see a handicap, I'm going to race. I'm going to take it anyway because I'm not being thoughtful. And another thing that I thought about this morning, I was on my way from work, and we always talk about self-care. We talk about self-care. And self-care is all about us. And I was saying, man, I got to hurry up. Da, 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 da. But you know what the Spirit of God let me know? He says self-care is the church. It's not just you. It's everybody else. You have to be mindful of other people as well. We take care of ourselves, but sometimes you don't give attention. You do give attention, but sometimes people slack, because the Bible says that Jesus was touched by the affirmity, by the people's affirmities. And sometimes we can look over top of somebody's affirmity and not be touched and don't care what they got going on. None. And the Bible says that Jesus moved with compassion. So sometimes we have to be intentional about our thoughts. And we can say it's hard because it's a habit. And you know, habits, truthfully, it's hard to break. But when we're intentional about it, the time goes by so fast that we don't care about it. And another thing that he dealt with me, he said, it's only through an open, clear, cleansed spiritual mind that we can realize through the revelation of our identity in Christ. Because again, as we said, we talked about Peter, the wind's coming. You know, as long as we're focused, we're fine. But when stuff happens and knocks us off our block, can we remember through revelation of who God is? And it says, let me see, I wrote this down. Okay. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? Okay, oh, here was something that I really wanted to deal with. I've been doing messing with this one a long time. In Revelation, yes, I want to deal with that, our completeness, that he is the revelation of our completeness, that we know through revelation through him we have no emptiness, you know, that we're not lacking in anything, that we're full in him, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that he is the complete image of God that dwelleth in us. The complete image of God dwells in us, and we are to manage that. The total divine God dwells in us. So I say, check our garden. How are we managing our garden? How are we managing the most precious thing in the entire created thing of being? Resides in us. And how are we managing it? How are we taking care of it? How are we taking care of the God on the inside of us? We're in him, but he's in us. And he is the source of our completeness. And I also wrote down this, and I said, sin is being out of sync with the identity and missing out, is with. Sin is being out of sync with our identity and missing out on sonship. So every time we miss the mark, we're living outside of our identity and we're not living in sonship of Christ, so we're not representing him well. Are y'all understanding me? Am I rough? Or am I telling the truth? Is this bringing insight?
It's tight, but it's right.
I don't want no. I'm not trying to make it. Maybe it's what Della. Am I making anybody feel bad?
No, not at all.
It's truth.
Right.
Do y'all take this as I'm bad? I don't want to feel that way, but I want us to recognize the gift and the present that we carry. Keep the mic close. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Obedient. Keep it right here. Right here. Okay. And another note that I wrote down is that, we do not know him by meaning of our own knowledge reduced to opinions according to our flesh. And again, that's us making excuses of his grace when we know better. If we're being straight, we know better. And we don't want to justify that he's grace and he understands me when we're intentionally doing something with the hardness of our hearts and we know that our hearts are hard. And it said, and then another thing I wrote down, this is coming, I like this. I don't think I studied enough, but I'm going to give it to you because I wrote it down in my study time, and you guys can look on your own. But it says, we know him only by revelation, according to the prophetic word. So what is that? The teachings that were left for us to study to show us who God is. And I believe this is what this John 1 is showing us. The prophetic scripture is showing us. And it says, we gain a lot of victories through revelation of who God is in our lives. When we really gain that revelation, we can overcome. But if we don't really gain that revelation, then we keep spinning. And that's why we spin in circles, because we have not gained the revelation, the unveiling of the lie. And that's why we keep facing the same battles. Understanding his purpose in our journey with and in Christ makes the difference of our victorious outcomes and incomes. What or how much we take in of what we or how much we take in of him manifests the outcome by the truth and revelation. We receive revelation of him, meaning what we or our ability to understand and grasp hold of who he is and where he is in me in our journey of our life. So what I'm saying is that, again, it goes back to that measure of faith that he's given us. But the more we seek him, we begin to grab those measures and understand. And bit by bit, you know, we undo those things. And then we can be able to get to this glory. After we understand the revelation of the process of why I'm going through this, through God, through the word, and through his spirit, once all of that is undone, that's what, then we'll go to another glory, because he's constantly revealing himself. And then the Bible says that when the cherubims was up and the worship called holy, holy, they continue to see a different attribute of him, and he wants to do the same for us, but we're not moving those things out of the way so that we can experience those greater things, because we keep operating on the same level. We keep seeing the same manifestations. Sometimes the same word keep coming and coming and coming. Why? Because we have not grasped the revelation, or I'm just going to say, may not even put our hearts on the intent to understand that revelation to go pay, to get it. Until we're intentional. And then sometimes there's things that will push us in those places to be intentional. But why be pushed when he's freely given it? And we should freely receive, and he wants it for us. Okay, and then meaning what we or, okay, hold on. Come on, a matter of true revelations. I receive him, meaning what we or our ability to understand, to grab a hold of who he is and where he is in our journey of life determines the measure of victory received from him in our journey. Processes we go through. We can receive partial healing or feeling or a continued belief of, I know. Knowing is not what you really know, because there is not fruit of knowing. We have to be confidently declare revelation and trust, speak God's word, speak God's will into the situations. So we have to align up with his will, even to see the manifestations. We have to know what he's going to do. His will for our lives. You have to know the will and speak the will and not what you know. That's good. God's will into the situation, not having to believe, but with full trust and confidence, believing totally in the one who you say you trust. And when you trust them, that's all for the will of our lives. I wrote something else. Yes. And so the Bible says, I'm going to get done in a minute. Not rushing, but this is. Okay. Through revelation of our identity in Christ, I say this because our minds, our actions sometimes show an opposite. Because our focus is not always intentionally spiritually focused. When we are focused intentionally, the revelation restores our sight of who we are. And the Bible says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as I said earlier, worship is about being in line. Being in line with Christ. And it is expressed because of worship is expressed because we are already connected to God. Spiritually, we are already connected, but truth is we are aware of the connection. So we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it is by revelation that we know who God is, not of the knowing, but the revelation that he presents to us of who he is. So spiritually, we're already connected to him because we have that relationship. So he's going to lead and he's going to guide us. And the truth is that we are aware of that relationship that we that connection that we have with him. That's how we can worship him in spirit and in truth. And that sometimes it's just not about a song or the things that we do that is worship, but it's a transformation of our lives, explaining and exemplifying who Christ is in the earth. So, with all that. Small winds that carry the voice of God. And in my closing, spend time alone in silence with God to continuously always clear our minds, our hearts, so that we will always have the right perception of who He is.
Amen.
Oops. I'm sorry. I didn't keep it to my mouth. But anyway, I really hope that this for me, I'm a self-examination person. I examine myself all the time. So I'm not saying nothing to y'all that I don't say to myself. I check myself all the time. I try to. Because if I don't check myself, guess who do? That little girl in the corner. Mom, you're not. Mom, you're this. And you know, and I'm telling you, know your kids, that they'll check you. It's okay. Do you like it? Not all the time. But when we're being transformed into the image of Christ, we cannot turn down what anyone says about us, because they're on the receiving end of us. And sometimes we don't always know what we're giving. But when they're on the receiving end and they say, this is how I feel and this is what you're doing, then you're doing it because they're receiving it from you. And we can't negate that. So I would say, continue to transform ourselves, deal with those hard things, and continue to allow God to transform us. Amen. Amen. Amen.